Well, we thank the Lord for this beautiful day He's given to us, and I ask an interest in your prayers as we look into His Word for a little while, and ask the Lord to bless it. Maybe we could bow our heads briefly. Father, thank you for this day, and we appreciate your mercy and love that you show to us, everyone. I ask you that you'd be with us on this day. And Lord, I pray you would take these words that are spoken today, and by your Holy Spirit, translate them to the mind and the heart of the hearer to be what they need for this day. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. A little burden I have on my heart today is on the subject of identity. Identity. Identity is the qualities, beliefs, personality, looks, and or expressions that make a person or group. If I mentioned a name to you, such as George Washington, probably the first thing that comes to your mind is the first president of the United States of America, or John Bell Edwards, who's the governor of Louisiana. Or if I mention the name Enola Gay, the bomber that dropped the A-bomb on Hiroshima. These are things that have become synonymous with the identity of the individual. George Washington has an identity. John Bell Edwards has an identity. The Enola Gay has an identity. You have an identity. Quite some time ago, I made a purchase in a store in Walmart. And while I was on the self-checkout aisle, scanning my items, the scanner stopped and a screen came up saying an associate would be with me shortly. And the associate walked up quickly and said, "Sir, I need to see your ID." Well, I thought, what had I bought that needed an ID? So I pulled my driver's license out of my wallet and showed it to her. She was satisfied, walked away. But apparently I had purchased something that was a restricted item. I had some automotive chemicals there, maybe some carburetor cleaner spray or something like that. And maybe it's a precursor for a drug or making drugs or for huffing. I don't know. But anyway, she wanted to see my identity. Now, my identity shows a picture on it of me. It shows my birth date and it gives my address. So it tells a little bit of basic information about who I am. The main thing she was concerned about is that I was over the age of 18, of course, which was obvious. But this is something that we need to think about, is our identity. What is your identity? Well, how is it portrayed? How are you portrayed to those around you? When someone calls your name in a group setting, what is the image that comes to mind of the individuals who are hearing the conversation about your name? I'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 3, and we'll read a couple of verses here that Jesus, some work that Jesus was doing. He was calling the 12, and he was calling his apostles. He ordained them. And in verse 16, we read, "And Simon, he surnamed Peter." Now, Peter means a rock. You remember later on, he said, "Thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Peter is the name of a rock. And the Lord, looking at Peter, he surnamed him, gave him another name. So his identity to Jesus was not Simon, but it was something very different than that. It was Peter. It was something solid, steadfast. Now, we might look at that and say, how could that be the case? Because Peter seemed to be one who was impulsive and couldn't necessarily stay on target. Said he wouldn't deny the Lord, but he did. So how do we look at that? Well, the Lord looked at Peter and saw something different than what you and I would see. He saw him as being a rock. And then in verse 17, "And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder." Again, two men that Christ chose to be his apostles. He gave them a different name. He surnamed them Boanerges, the sons of thunder. He saw something in them that no one else saw, apparently, that these men were like the sons of thunder. So I don't know what it was that Jesus saw, but he saw something that identified them in a different form or a different way than what they were typically identified. And I wonder sometimes, how does he see you or me? What's the name he has for me? I think about that. I would like to think of myself as being a stable man, but does the Lord see me that way? Does he look at me and see me as being one who is flim-flam, wishy-washy, can't be satisfied? I don't know how he sees me or what my name is that he has given to me, but it's important. And it's important how others see you and me too as we go through life. And that's what I want us to talk about for a little while this morning as we look into these scriptures, is what is our identity? All right? In Matthew chapter 7, pick up and read a few verses here. We'll start with verse 15, and we'll go down through verse 20, the tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Very powerful words from the Master. He says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Now that means that an individual who is good quality, who is good to the core, is not going to bring forth the fruit or display an identity counter to the good person that he is. Now, every one of us can make mistakes. We realize that. I've made my share, more than my share of them. I made plenty that I've had to go back and retrace and fix. And I wish I hadn't had to do it, but I have. And I know that you have too. And he says in verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do you gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You wouldn't expect to go out and look around the edge of fields and briar patches and expect that you're going to gather grapes. You're going to get blackberries if they're ripe and good, if there's some berries there. Or figs of thistles. Now we know a fig tree, a fig tree isn't thistles, it isn't prickly, but that's where you find figs. You would anticipate going to a blackberry bush and finding blackberries. But if you went to that blackberry bush and there was figs hanging on it, wouldn't that make you scratch your head? Or grapes hanging on it? Wouldn't that make you scratch your head and say, what's going on here? It certainly would me. I wouldn't expect to find grapes on a blackberry vine. This is what the Lord is talking about here. You're not going to find good qualities in a bad man. You're not going to find bad qualities in a good man. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. These are the words of the Master. They're not refutable. He has a certain discipline here that he's speaking to us about, that he's preaching and teaching to us. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And I want us to consider this. Identity is more than just your name and picture on a document. It is who you are. It is the actions, the choices, the decisions that mold and shape you, your personality. A man's identity is formed by a series of events in life. One event may make an impression, but it is a continuous series of events that identify who you are. A man can have a good character. A man can have a good reputation, and he can make a mistake. Now, that might be a mar on his character and a mar on his reputation. But if he's just made a mistake, he can recover from that mistake. But if he links together a chain of events in life where he makes a continual linking together of bad choices, bad decisions, bad thoughts, bad words, bad judgment, and you see the pattern develop in his life, you can see the overall the picture. You come to realize that it's more than what he says, it's what he actually does. He can tell you all kinds of things. He can tell you what he will do, what he can do, what he knows. But when you watch what he does, and you see the path, the direction of his life, that tells you so much more than what you hear him say. All right? He can recover from a bad mistake. But if he has linked together a series of events in life, that becomes his identity. That becomes how we know him. And when that name is mentioned, there is an image conjured in your mind of who this individual is and what type of conduct you can anticipate from him. For example, if you're having a conversation with someone, let's just say that you had a problem with your vehicle, and there was someone that you needed a mechanic to take a look at it and try to get it fixed. And you had a mechanic that had a good reputation, and his name was mentioned, and maybe his price is a little bit high, but you knew that everyone who went there, even though they paid a little bit more, that when they got their vehicle back, it was fixed. Not to go back for the same problem again, it was fixed. There's a reputation, there's an identity there. Two things: one, good mechanic. Second thing, a little bit high, little price a little bit high. However, you look at that and say, okay, is it reasonable pay a little bit higher price for an identity that I know is going to take care of my problem? Or I say, okay, here's another man who's a mechanic, and he's known to do pretty good work, but it's also known that he has some things that come back to him from time to time. He doesn't always get it right. And when it does come back, he charges again. And you pay twice for the product or the job that you wanted to have done the first time. And you look at that and you come to the conclusion that, now wait a minute, there's two different identities here. There's an identity of one that is a little bit higher on price, but it's taken care of, the problem is fixed. There's another one that the price is quite a bit different, it's cheaper, but I may end up having to go back and pay a second time to get my vehicle fixed. An identity, you see. You have to make that decision, because these are two individuals working in a course in life, and they have developed character and identity. You see, folks, you and I develop an identity as we go through life. And as you conduct yourself in the affairs of life, what you do, what you say, where you go, how you conduct yourself, tells a whole lot more about you than just your name and your picture on a document. Just what other people might think about you. You heard the expression, first impressions are lasting impressions. I've had some situations where maybe a first impression wasn't very good. And I've wondered, is it right to mark this individual by the first impression that I saw when I first met him? Maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe his feet were sore and his shoes were too tight. Maybe he'd been walking around all day with wet feet and they hurt really bad. There's things like that you and I can't see. Maybe he had some real deep, deep problems in his home and we couldn't see those things. We don't know. First impressions are lasting impressions. That's true. But they don't necessarily make the identity of the man. It takes a string of events to make the identity of a man. One event makes an impression, but a continual series of events identifies who you are. What you say is one thing. What you actually do is more of an indicator of your true identity. Those things portray more than an image of who a person is. You see, life is not a bundle of just one bundle, a small bundle of big things, but it's a big bundle of little things. I'll say that again. Life is not a small bundle of big things, but a big bundle of little things. You see, folks, it's the little things that matter. It's the little things that tell the story. It's the little things that paint the picture and draw out the image of who I am over the course of time. Whether I'm a man who's good to my word, or whether my word doesn't mean much. If I say to you, I'm going to get this project taken care of, and I'm going to have it done by the end of the week, and the end of the week never comes, and I never have the project ready and never have it done, what's my identity? Do you sometimes find then that you come to learn that whenever he says he's going to take care of this project, and it strings out, and it strings out, and it strings out, that it's not quite what he says? His word's not quite what he said it was? On the other hand, if I tell you by the end of the week I'm going to take care of this problem, and before the end of the week comes, the problem is fixed, or I have come to you and said, look, I've run into a snafu here. It's going to take me a little bit longer, but we're working on it. We're going to get it taken care of. You see, the problem is in my identity. One way or the other, I set a pattern. I set a pattern of whether I'm trustworthy or not. I set a pattern, and that is who I am. That is my identity. What you say is one thing. What you actually do is more of an indicator of your true identity. Those things portray more than an image of who a person is. Now, I'd like to go to Matthew 26. Rough time that Peter had when he betrayed the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 73. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Peter had been denying the Lord here. He had said he didn't know the man. Never seen him. Wasn't with him. But then one comes of an individual says, look, I know you're one of them because your speech bewrayeth thee. Now this word bewray means to disclose, to betray, to show or make visible. In other words, what he's saying is your speech accuses you. Now, I don't know what that speech was or what the dialect was. If there was something specific in his dialect that showed he was from a certain area that was outside of Jerusalem there, I don't know what all that was. But there was something about what Peter said in his speech that accused him or showed him to be different than what he was saying, you see. And those are things that you have to realize. Thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, there's some proof here that things aren't lining up to what you said. This is your identity. You do know him. You've been with him. You have taken time to work with him. You've been there with the Lord. You do know who he is. We can tell by your speech because your speech accuses you. It tells the story of who you are and that you're one of the 12. You're one of the disciples. Now, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians. Be ready to close out here in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The first 6 or 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs start out something like this. My son, it's someone giving instruction to an individual, trying to teach them and tell them about knowledge and understanding and wisdom, telling them not to go after the path of thieves, telling them not to go after the path of gangs, telling them not to go after the strange woman who lurks in the streets, telling them to be careful and guard their reputation, to be careful and guard their character, their identity, you see. It talks about wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And those are the things that you and I need to spend some time learning in life, to develop. It is to be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, watch the company that you keep. What's the crowd that you associate with? There is an identity there, you see. I know it's true. I've been down the path of life. I'm nearly 59 years old. And I have been down the path of life when I was in my early teens and mid-teens, where I had choices to make. And some of those choices that I made weren't necessarily the best choices to be made. And there was a group of people that I was with for a while that wasn't the best group of people. You see, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you've been taught values, principles in life, if you've been taught things that have worth to them, true worth, and you start to go back on those things and you start running with a group or a crowd who's after folly and mirth and just after what pleases the flesh, you see, sooner or later, you're going to transition from being that person with a good identity to becoming a person that has an identity that's not so good. Thank God, folks, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a man can have his identity changed. He can have an identity that was once he was a thief and a robber and a liar. He can have an identity where he was a scoundrel. But when he comes across the path of the Lord, his identity can be changed if he yields to the Lord. Thank God, folks, you and I can have that change of identity. Now, does it take some time to prove? Of course. Is that something that we should be frustrated with? No. We should understand and accept that it takes time to make that kind of a change. I can have a change of heart. I can have the change of heart and know in my own heart that it's different, that everything's different than it used to be. But in order for me to prove to my fellow man, I have to be consistent, you see. I have to continually walk that path. And as I do, my identity will change. I'll share a little story with you. Many, many years ago, 1979, 80, 81, somewhere in that time frame, I was working at a shop and close there in downtown Hammond. And one of the guys asked me one day, he said, "Mike, let's go get some lunch together." I said, "Okay, where are we going?" And then he said, "Well, we're going to go get some lasagna." And I liked lasagna. So we walked across the railroad tracks and went to a place called Kelly's Bar and Grill. Now, I'd never been inside a bar before, so I had a little bit of misgivings about that. But I went in, ate lunch, and, well, I'm going to tell you, it was a good lasagna. That little Italian lady could cook, and she made a good lasagna. And I got into a habit of going back to that place to eat lunch. They had good food. Someone saw me go in there one day. Told my grandpa. I don't know how the word got back to me. I don't really remember now. It's been so long ago. But I do remember hearing these words. "I wish you wouldn't go in there. I wish you wouldn't go to a place like that." You see, without me realizing it, there was a little bit of a change coming to pass in my identity because I had made a choice, you see, to go into a place that was a bar to eat lunch. It was just food. But the location, you see, the place, wasn't the best choice for me to make. And I realized after I heard those words sometime later, "I wish you wouldn't do that," that somebody was watching and somebody had seen. And it was having an effect on who I was in their eyes. My identity in their eyes was changing. Well, folks, people have a right to look. They have a right to observe. They have a right to see the places you and I go and observe our conduct. And believe me, when they see our conduct, they can draw conclusions of their own of what our identity is. And may the Lord help us to do what we can to keep our identity clear and have it be one like Jesus said about concerning Simon, you're Peter, James and John, you're Boanerges, the sons of thunder, and have him say about you or me a name that he has given to us that is a name of good quality. Oh, I know that's what we're striving for. I know that's what we want. But may I give you this counsel? Consider your identity as you go through life and you make your decisions and you make your choices of where you want to go and what you want to do. Because it does make an impression and it does matter. It matters to those around you. It matters to the Lord. It matters to your family. And sooner or later, it's going to matter to you. I appreciate everyone who is here this day. May God bless each one. And folks, remember, listen for the still, small voice of the Spirit of God to guide you through life. It'll make a drastic difference for you. I appreciate your time and attention. Amen.